This is an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Now, the Stuff File presents Andrew Fazekas, the Night Sky Guy. It's radio that's out of this world.
Andrew Fazekas, the Night Sky Guy, is a member of the Royal Astronomical Society of Canada and author of National Geographic's Backyard Guide to the Night Sky, and also National Geographic's Stargazer's Atlas, the Ultimate Guide to the Night Sky. And Andrew, just like last month, we have more delays dominating the news.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think on everyone's mind is, of course, everything to do with the moon missions, humans going to the moon. We've got, of course, Artemis 2 that's getting set to go. It's had a few delays, but now it looks like April is when we'll have our first crew of four humans swinging around the moon in a 10-day mission, not landing. But what's really interesting is that the new head of NASA, Jared Isaacman, he has kind of rejigged the upcoming thereafter, the entire Artemis program. And so the big one is rewriting Artemis 3. Instead of it being the first lunar landing of the Artemis program, it's now planned as a low Earth orbit mission in 2027, so next year. And it'll basically be featuring an Orion crew capsule rendezvousing with one or more lunar landers. This means that the first human moon landing in part of the Artemis program is now pushed to Artemis 4, not Artemis 3, but 4, and will happen in 2028. If they do Artemis 4 well in the mid part or the early part of 2028, they may also have an Artemis 5 mission, potential follow-up as a second landing later that same year. So basically, in a big press announcement, the NASA administrator said that the previous plans that they had in place was just too risky. Basically, going from a swing around the moon to direct landing is just not the right pathway forward. That's what he literally said. And so the original Artemis 3 plan basically had stacked up a huge number of first-time milestones, of technological milestones that were never tried before. It depended heavily on that lunar landing system. And so NASA has an aerospace safety advisory panel that basically said, this group of experts has said that the way they had everything planned produced significant risks at the mission level. That's what it is. So that seemed very risky, and it's just too much risk generally across the Artemis program, how it was planned out. So NASA says that this complete rethink that they're doing reduces the complexity of all the moving parts, but it also accelerates hardware production, and it increases, actually, potentially increases the launch cadence. So like in 2028, we may be going for the first time landing on the moon, part of the Artemis mission program, but we might have a follow-up mission within a few months after that. So sort of like a double whammy in 2028 if things go well. So this is a really, you know, Peter, if you look at it overall, it's a major philosophical shift for NASA. And instead of chasing this really dramatic headline-grabbing first landing, right, as fast as they could do it, NASA is kind of going, well, we think being more incremental, a lower risk pathway back to the moon just makes sense.
Well, you say it's a shift in the idea of what they're going to be doing philosophically, but is that also creating a shift in how much preparation they have to do? Because as you know, everybody, including the astronauts, on the ground work day in, day out, working to get the best maximum possibility of effort into whatever they are planning to do. They're doing everything on the ground ahead of time. And does that change their focus on the ground before they go into space?
Well, I think what it does is that it kind of narrows down the, for each flight, these milestones that they want to achieve. So like, instead of Artemis 3, you know, checking off like a huge long list of firsts that they want to achieve, by land, and with that landing, it really allows the astronauts to focus on a smaller task list. And in this case, Artemis 3, instead of it doing everything to land on the moon, it's going to try out, for instance, how to dock with a lunar lander in low Earth orbit. This also, you have to remember, Peter, there is this other aspect to it, that there is these competing contracts between SpaceX and Blue Origin, where they're both these private companies have major contracts with NASA to develop their own lunar landers. SpaceX is ahead of the game because they're already testing their giant Starship. This large, world's largest rocket ever built is really what NASA has pegged as the lander that they wanted to use for the first mission to land on the moon. But you know, they need more time for testing. Probably Blue Origin does too, with their own lander. So by basically inserting an extra test mission, they're allowing time to develop some of this technology. It also lowers the demand on the astronauts for each individual mission, and also gives them kind of, I think, a sense of relief in that they know that the technology that they are using in their respective missions have been tested more rigorously.
Well, like dominoes falling, is this a situation where it backs up everything? You mentioned SpaceX. SpaceX's Starship might not fly on Artemis 3's mission.
Yeah, exactly. So here we are, we're talking, this is a good lead-in, because Peter, when we're thinking about SpaceX, we're all looking at that Starship tests, and you and I have talked a lot about it over the last couple of years, seeing those giant Starship launches in Texas, and they are still working on it. They haven't had a fully successful mission yet, and there's a lot more testing to be done before it's ready to put humans on there. So this has bothered NASA a lot. Because Artemis 3, with this new shift in NASA's thinking that we were just talking about, Artemis 3 is no longer a lunar landing mission, SpaceX's Starship may not really be required to fly on that mission at all. Really, that's what it says, because under this NASA's new concept that they've announced, Artemis 3 mission, the whole thing is staying in low Earth orbit. They're demonstrating, like I said, new technologies, including rendezvousing and docking between the Orion capsule. That's what takes. That's where the humans are riding, the astronauts, and docking with one or potentially both commercial landers. And we're talking the one from SpaceX, that's Starship, and Blue Origin's own lunar lander. So I guess, in other words, what we're saying is that Artemis 3 can become more of a test and demonstration mission rather than, you know, us seeing the boots on the moon headline kind of event. And I think this is, you know, this is the major theme here, is that, you know, there's definitely a competition here, and NASA kind of a lot of hints, if you read in between the lines of what Isaacman was saying in this press conference the other week, the NASA, I think, does not want to rely on just one lunar lander contractor, meaning they want to give maybe SpaceX more time to develop their Starship to be available for the later down the line Artemis mission. So maybe Artemis 5 or 6 would use the Starship. So it needs more time to mature. And perhaps Blue Origin, that's Jeff Bezos' company, would be able to take that first primary slot of being on the Artemis 4 landing mission, being the first lander. So they've already signaled, Blue Origin has already signaled that it's actually that they're really investing in developing that lunar lander, fast tracking it. And you could see that in late January, when Blue Origin announced that they're pausing their New Shepard tourism flights. You know, all those flights that we've seen with Katy Perry and William Shatner, those tourism flights are going to be on pause for at least 2 years. And this is going to allow their development team at Blue Origin to speed up that development of the lunar lander system that they have. So, you know, I think overall what this means is that SpaceX is still central to NASA's moon's plans overall, but it may not be the number one lunar lander that they're going to be relying on the next Artemis mission, the first Artemis mission that will land on the moon.
Meanwhile, as the saying goes, poor Boeing Starliner, always the bridesmaid, never the bride. And that includes this very segment, because we've run out of time.
Really? Just when we're getting into these great stories.
We've run out of time. But can we go over to Patreon and talk more about this thing, including talking about Boeing Starliner, which is now just apparently only a cargo vessel instead of one that takes astronauts, among other things? Can we go over to Patreon and talk about those things?
Absolutely. And I've got some interesting updates on the ISS that folks don't want to miss. So let's do it.
Okay, sir.
Clear skies.
Andrew Fizakis, the night sky guy. You can go to our website at thestufffile.com to the page for this show, which is show number 0865. And you'll find links to Andrew's site to get your own personal autographed copy of his books. Patreon subscribers, you can hear more of Andrew as a Patreon reward extra, where we'll discuss, as Andrew just mentioned, the extended future of the ISS, private companies making trips to the ISS, the future of the Boeing Starliner, space debris hitting commercial aircraft in the sky, Germans on the moon, and more. Just go to our Patreon page, and if you're not already a member, become one of the select patrons of the show. Visit patreon.com/thestufffileprogram.
You've just heard an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. To hear any or all of the full hour-long shows, visit thestufffile.com. Stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. That's thestufffile.com. A presentation of Flying Fish Communications.